Joining me now are the leaders from Emmanuel Catholic College.
My name's Paul Watson. I'm the principal of the college.
I'm Kerry Randall, and I'm the head of science at the college.
And I'm James Silver, and I'm the head of HASS.
Can you tell us a little bit about Emmanuel Catholic College, particularly what sort of community or what are some of the student demographics represented in the school?
Certainly. We're a co-ed Catholic educational college. About 1,180 students from years 7 to 12. We run certainly a very traditional structure, both in terms of timetable and what the day looks like, and also what lessons look like at this point. I think we're a low to mid, we can describe ourselves as fee-paying school. And our demographic is very down to earth, I like to think, in a lot of ways. Very, very middle class.
Where is the school located, for those who aren't familiar?
It's in Success in Perth in Western Australia, about 25 kilometres south of the CBD.
Excellent. And in choosing to engage with this Future Schools initiative, what changes were you hoping to achieve within the school?
Very much is what we want to do is change the face of education and flip it on its head.
A small thing.
Yeah, just a little thing. And we know that there are purpose-built institutions cropping up all the time to do those sorts of things. And even in a traditional school like ours, we can run one-off events, project-based learning, but we're looking for sustained change to improve the engagement of students and thus the outcomes, with the belief that the traditional model isn't working. Kids aren't buying into it anymore. They're less inclined to play the game. And as such, school for 6 hours a day for ultimately 6 years is a tough gig for a lot of them. And we're looking to do better by them and by our teachers as well.
What do you see as some of the drivers behind that change in student attitude?
I think that students don't see relevance in their education in a traditional structure. They're there because they have to be. They do the work because the teacher said to do it. They know they've got to get a mark or a grade because it'll be on a test, or because they're told that they need it in the future. So we have to find a way to give them time to find a love of learning, to explore a genuine passion and interest, to become engaged. We have to find a way where they see real world application to what they're learning and relevance to their lives. For us to do that, we need our teachers to change their pedagogical practice as opposed to stand and deliver from the front of the room and teaching to assess.
So I suppose the big question is how? How are you going about that change? Like what does that look like on the ground?
Yeah, well, you know, as a principal, I can talk about the vision all I want, but I can't enact it without people like Kerry and James that are not only in the classroom doing it themselves, that are proving themselves as lighthouse champions in pedagogical change, but that have large departments underneath them that they can mentor and guide to do exactly the same with teachers right across the school.
Well, I think for us in our department, it's about putting the fun back into learning. You know, why are we doing this? Well, we enjoy life around us, so why shouldn't we know how it happens? And science is a perfect place to do that. You know, that question of why, how do things happen? Ooh, what else do I need to know in order for the next part to happen? And it's about redefining how students think about those issues that are going on in their everyday life. Creating that, you know, sustainable ecosystem for learning from the ground up for these students to go, hey, if I can do it at school, I can do it outside of school. And if I can do it outside of school, I can do it in all facets of my life. And to me, that is building confidence in their own abilities. It's about providing them with the skills in which to interact with the environment around them, but also to develop themselves as learners, as individual entities, to be able to learn and them to be able to move forward with their life in a learning capacity and do anything they want to do and enjoy doing it.
I think the traditional model of teaching really is quite a sort of teacher-centric model, whereby the teacher is essentially feels like they're almost babysitting for a while. It's their job to deliver all this huge amount of content, to get through this giant curriculum, and effectively to keep the students entertained for, you know, this short 50-minute window before we then suddenly swap classes and do it all again with another group of students. It doesn't foster an opportunity or culture for innovation, for doing things differently when you constantly work like that. Mm. And I think what we're trying to do at Emmanuel is to make the experience of a school day far more student-centric, where students are learning the skills around real-world skills and finding the content for themselves more so than listening to a delivery of it from our expert teacher. And the teacher needs to... we think that the teacher role is needing to change away from being the instructor and the entertainer and much more towards the facilitator, the guide, and helping the students really develop real-world skills and find the content, learn the content on their own.
What are the practicalities? What sort of pedagogical approaches are you pursuing to try and achieve those goals?
Well, we lead with inquiry, you know, inquiry-based learning, creating that curiosity. And additional to that, our teachers need some frameworks to plan with and to plan well. So we look at problem-based learning. We use PBL or project-based learning as well. And this is a journey that we're just beginning as a department to embark upon. In order for us to have a balanced view of what we're doing, we work in teams, we collaborate, we cooperate. We are critical friends of each other's work, you know, so actually reflecting on each other's work as we're developing programs for student learning, and being able to accept that feedback and develop it further based on, you know, our peers that we trust, their feedback that they're providing for us on the work that we're doing and that we're hoping to lead our students through.
Yeah, very much so. Like you said, it's a work in progress. It's Rome wasn't built in a day. We've done a lot already, and I think there's a lot more that we're going to be doing. We've started with things like reducing the number of assessments and switching up the types of tasks. I know a few years ago when I first came to the school, I remember looking at the Year 10 program, for example, and seeing that there was, I think, across the year of assessments of something like 10 assessments, 8 or 10 assessments, 2 to 3 every term, including 2 essays, 3 reports. You know, it's the same stuff, and it was a small group of students that were doing very, very well, while the majority were sort of languishing, and there was no, but there was no outcome, there was no skills at the end of it. So we've reduced assessments, we've changed assessment types, so we've, one of the recent ones, for example, one of the, I suppose we talked about project-based learning, that's probably one of our, we're not talking about making the entire year that, but there is certainly scope for some really interesting assessment tasks and various inquiries. For example, with year nines, we're building a climate change and food security sort of solutions assignment. The students are actually responsible for choosing their own questions, their own assignment, essentially, and how they want to demonstrate. Now, we've had students that have asked real-world problems that they've come up with themselves. An example here for you is I've had a few questions here whether changes are needed to the education system. So this is students asking whether schools should be sending more students off on apprenticeships or into the workplace rather than off to TAFE or university. They've looked at the productivity levels of mobile technologies and deeper effects of coronavirus, and this is chosen by the students, and they've developed their questions, they've developed their assignment themselves, and they've delivered it in a number of different ways. We've had websites that have been built, we've had podcasts, and Minecraft has been used, movies,
models
and visual infographics, all sorts of different things. And I think the thing that's been really, probably for me, and I think certainly for the staff in HASS, the thing that has been most interesting to see is really what they come up with.
Yeah.
It's actually quite incredible.
Yeah.
Some of the things that students, often students as well, who are otherwise disengaged, not doing very well, actually come up with some fantastic stuff that I would never have thought of to do myself.
And I think the examples that Kerry and James are giving highlight that a traditional education system has never placed enough faith or trust in students. And they will shock you if you give them the opportunity. And why we don't give them more once you see that occurring and the learning occurring and the passion, you know, it doesn't make sense the further that we go on and on and on. And we know that major disconnect between what the research says, what the real examples are that we see in our school, yet what we continue to persevere with in terms of practice is becoming more and more, I guess, you know, concerning in a lot of ways and puzzling. As principal, I ask the staff to innovate and create with, for whatever it's worth, my permission to fail. They have to know that this isn't going to be the end of the world. They're not going to do damage. They're only going to see outcomes like Kerry and James are talking about. So for us, it's looking at future schools and giving staff on-demand professional learning to access what other schools around the world are doing. And the most basic of things is knowing our kids. And we've done some work around the McCrindle report. And, you know, we have to understand that our, you know, our kids want to succeed. Their education concerns them. They're just as concerned about everyone else. About their screen time, but they know that they can't get off it for fear of missing out. So they've got these battles going on about how do they reach success. The best thing we can do to guide them towards that success is engage them.
What will success look like in the long run? And I suppose what are the key milestones you're looking for along the way? You know, you've talked about the attitudes of the students. How will you identify when that change has become a significant part of the school culture?
I think on the surface it'll be smiles on kids' faces. It will be what they're demonstrating in a classroom in a non-traditional way. We will see their creativity come to the forefront. How we're going to measure that as opposed to league tables that we do now, which are catered for such a small part of a school, let alone a small part of the students. And we never recognise the student that moved from 55 to 75. You know, that is an enormous growth for them. And I think the focus is more on growth on a regular basis than overall achievement. We're aiming to teach, to guide, to work with students to deliver the skills that they need to succeed. We may never see that face to face. We will see growth. But unless they come back to us and say, I reached the end goal, we don't know. But by the same token, we don't know that now. We don't see the kid with the 98 ATAR that more often than not can pull out of the first 12 months of university because they don't have the independence and the resilience to achieve those targets without someone spoon-feeding them the information. So a lot's unknown about what that will look like. The aim behind this education system is not just the educational experience and journey of students, it's almost a necessity for a better society.
It sounds like a very worthwhile initiative, and wish you all the best with your future endeavours, and hopefully
Thank you.
Can catch up in the future to hear how it's gone further on down the track.
Excellent.
Brilliant.
Thanks, Cameron.
Thanks, Cameron. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.